What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. With the NBA draft a few months away, I want to introduce everyone to a projected first-round draft pick who will follow in the footsteps of LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton, and Jayshon Tate as the next player from the NBL to make the NBA rookie transition. He's now measuring in at 6'9" in shoes, and he joins us all the way from Australia on the line. It's Josh Giddey of the Adelaide 36ers. Josh, how are you, mate?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate you taking some time after practice to hop on the line with me. I don't think a lot of people know, but you could have been playing college basketball in the USA instead of being in the Next Star program in the NBL with the Adelaide 36ers. So for the USA listeners, when you were looking at colleges, where did you feel like you could have played college basketball? And what do you think would have happened if you ended up going that route instead of playing professionally in the NBL?
Yeah, look, it was a tough decision, and it was one that I put a lot of kind of thought and effort into. And I really tossed and turned about whether to, go pro or go the college route. And earlier on, when I was maybe in the 10th grade or 11th grade, I was really set on college. And then I took a visit to Colorado University. That was the only official visit I took. And when I got back from there, I was almost 99% locked in to go there. But then that's when I got back and I really started talking to people and thinking hard about it. And, I decided to stay here and play pro. But if I did go to college, I probably would have gone to Colorado. But I probably would have taken a few more visits to probably Arizona and Baylor as well. But yeah, if I was going to commit anywhere, it was probably going to be Colorado.
Arizona, certainly a point guard school, produced a lot of the top NBA guards that we've seen over the years. And, but I would say it worked out pretty well for you so far, this season for you. With that in mind, your parents had been professional athletes and your dad was a coach. So I was curious, who did you grow up watching and kind of idolizing when you're trying to mold your game when it comes to basketball?
Yeah, well, I grew up, ever since I was young, I was always around the game because my dad was a coach with the Melbourne Tigers in the NBL. Right, and ever since I was two or three, I was always at the practices, kind of watching them running around growing up. And, I used to watch a lot of their games and a lot of the old Tigers boys. And Andrew Gaze was a big kind of idol for me because he was a superstar in Australia. And I got to watch him when I was younger. But, just the way he was, a tall point guard. He was the best to ever play in Australia. So he was kind of the guy I looked up to. And then we have a really good relationship still to this day. So, in terms of an idol, as when I was growing up, I'd say Andrew Gaze was probably the man.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned about him being a tall point guard, and you are that right now. Like I mentioned in the open, you were just stretched out to 6'9". We'll see how much further we can stretch you out before the time for the NBA draft. But, last season, obviously all eyes were on LaMelo Ball. And, he came to the NBA and had an immediate impact. So for you, watching LaMelo make that transition and the success that he had, how did that affect your confidence in playing in the NBL to prepare you for the NBA?
Yeah, no, it's obviously really good because when LaMelo first came to Australia, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I'd only ever seen him, on all the social media stuff and just highlights of him. And I wasn't really sure how he was going to go in Australia because, as you probably know, it's a really physical and tough league to play in. And I had no idea how he'd go or what he'd be like. And, I think he surprised everyone with how well he went. And he obviously did his thing over here. And then to see how well it's translated from the NBL to the NBA is just, it kind of gives me a lot of confidence kind of moving forward to see that the fact he was able to do that kind of gives me confidence thinking that I'm able to do the same thing. And, seeing him do so well in the NBA, as you said, have an immediate impact at such a young age and to do what he's doing, it's really cool for me to see.
One of the things I would say, though, that's different between LaMelo and I would even say RJ Hampton compared to you, when those guys went from America to play in Australia in the NBL, and like the buzz that they had was so much. To me, you know, you kind of came from a little bit under the radar and have really made a name for yourself within maybe the past year plus or so. Whereas these guys, as American high school stars, you know, they've always been hyped up for a while. So, you know, you're in the same program as they were in the NBL and the Next Star program. So I was curious if you felt like you've gotten any kind of similar buzz to what they got, or do you feel like maybe there's a little bit of an underrated aspect to your game and maybe people don't know you as well as maybe they should?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. I mean, obviously I didn't have the same kind of hype and buzz that they did coming into the league, as you touched on. They were, you know, big stars in high school basketball in the States, and they carried, you know, a pretty big fan base with them when they came over here. And I was really just unknown until maybe a year ago from now. And when I signed the 36ers, you know, no one really knew what to expect because I hadn't played in front of anybody for a long time and no one was really sure how I'd go. And then I think I've done a good job of kind of exceeding expectations and playing at a level where I think people didn't really see me playing at. And I think, you know, it's kind of just giving me confidence moving forward. So, I did fly a lot under the radar my whole junior career and right up until probably 12 months ago. So it's kind of how I've always been, you know, the underdog. I never really made state teams or any of the teams I was trying to make when I was a junior coming through those ranks. So, you know, it kind of adds fuel to the fire, you know, it kind of gets me to work harder. So, you know, being someone that's been overlooked and had those, you know, battles and had to go through those hard times of not making the teams I wanted to has kind of molded me into the player I am today.
You know, with that in mind, I mean, when you were going into your season with Adelaide, did what were your own expectations? Because obviously, I think, you know, you touched on it. A lot of people didn't necessarily know what to expect. But I always find it fascinating to hear what the player himself thinks going into a season and his own expectations. So what were yours?
Yeah, look, I always play with a lot of confidence. You know, I have a lot of confidence in myself, and I had a really good offseason. I think that's that was the big thing for me, because I was really, really skinny, you know, when I first, you know, signed the contract with the 36ers, and I knew it was something I had to address, and I had a really good offseason. I put on about 10 to 12 kilos, and I kind of bulked up a fair bit, and you know, it just gave me confidence, and I was, you know, in the gym every day working on my game, and it gave me confidence when I arrived in Adelaide, you know, to kind of say, all right, I can compete with these older guys and in the grown man's competition. And you know, we had a first preseason game. We played against it was a Brisbane team, but they were undermanned. They didn't have, you know, half their team. And, you know, just to that, it was kind of a good first game for me to kind of just get my feet under me and get used to playing against professionals in a big arena with, you know, thousands of fans. So, and I had a pretty good opening game. And then that kind of grew my confidence. And then when our import point guard arrived, and they kind of, I came off the bench for him, and then a few games in, you know, things didn't really work out for him and he left. And that's kind of when the doors really opened up for me. You know, the coach kind of handed the keys over to me and, you know, said, this is your team. You know, you're going to be the point guard. So ever since that day, I think I've kind of taken the opportunity with both hands and kind of ran away with it. And I think that's really helped me to where I'm at now.
So how's it been for you as a teenager, like you said, having the keys to the offense and really running the team? How have you been able to lead a locker room that has guys that are maybe not double your age, but there's certainly guys that are over 30. So how has that adjustment been for you?
Look, at the start, it was kind of daunting because I was 17 years old when I got in. I was like, all right, I'm going to have to boss 30-year-olds around and tell them what to do and where to be and what we're going to run and all this stuff. And it was kind of like, you know, do I really want to be telling? We've got a guy called Daniel Johnson who's, you know, a superstar of this league. He's a 5-time MVP. And it's like, he was my big guy. It's like, I'm going to have to tell him what to do. And at the start, it was like, well, do I really want to do that? And then as I kind of grew into my role on the team, it was like, well, this is what I've got to do. And then I think I gained the respect and earned the respect from my teammates and coaches. And now I kind of have that sense where I can, you know, talk to them freely and they listen. And if I tell them to, you know, not in a rude way or anything, but if I tell them to do something on the floor, they'll listen to me and they respect what I have to say. So, look, yeah, at the start it was tough because I was 17 years old and a lot of these guys were some of these guys were 15 years older than me. So it was like, you know, I can't really be bossing bets around in my first year. They've played for, you know, a decade. So it was challenging at the start, but, you know, as I grew into my role, it's become a lot easier.
And, you know, you talked about playing with older guys. One of your teammates is a guy that I had here in Brooklyn with the Nets, Donald Sloan. I was curious, you know, whether it was him or other guys on the team, who was a vet leader for you that took you under their wing and helped mentor you and, you know, that you learned a lot from?
Yeah, Sloan was a big one for me. I knew when they signed him, that was kind of the role he was going to play. He was going to play as a mentor for me, and he did an awesome job. He left, you know, pretty early on in the season, but, you know, the short time we did that together was really, really good, because he's been where I'm trying to get to, and he understands what it takes to get to that position. And, you know, just even small stuff. So after training one time, I went down, I finished, and I went to sit on my seat and just take my shoes off and relax. But Sloan came over to me and said, you know, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, we're done training. I'm just going to relax now. And Sloan, you know, he took me over to the backcourt, and we worked out for about an hour, and I was dripping sweat by the end of it. And he just showed me what it's like to be a professional and the work you have to do outside of team practices to get to where you want to get to. So, yeah, he was awesome for me while he was here, and we still stay in touch to this day. So he had a big impact on me in the short time we were together.
Yeah, Donald's a good dude, always was a hard worker. He had to stick in the league, and I'm sure that definitely rubbed off on you. Now, you know, with that in mind, you still got a season to play with Adelaide. So what are your goals at this point with the team looking ahead?
Look, I think the thing for us right now is to make a finals push. We started the year well, then we were kind of up and down through the middle of the season, and we had some injuries and we lost a few games in a row. So right now we're sitting sixth on the ladder. So we're by no means are we out of the finals race, but I think we need to, you know, string some wins together now and really make a push, because there's still so much of the season left. So we have a fair bit of time in terms of, you know, catching up on games, winning some, and winning some big ones. We have a tough one coming up this Saturday, but if we can get that against the top side, then kind of going to boost our confidence moving forward, and hopefully we can string a few more together.
I mean, given everything that you've experienced this season with Adelaide, can we definitively say at this point that you are going to declare for the NBA draft at this point?
Yes, we can.
I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like, yeah, I know, you know, well, it is what it is. We know what it is. I appreciate the honesty. And obviously for you, it's the realization of a lifelong dream. So that's fantastic. I mean, at this point, you know, with that in mind, then, you know, some stars that have been in the Next Star program, you know, they've left their team after, you know, X amount of regular season games. So I was curious for you, you know, you talked about trying to make that push with Adelaide. I mean, if they get eliminated from the playoffs, would you then stay with the team, or would you maybe come to the United States and start preparing for the draft in that way?
I think I'll stay here, you know, regardless if we come dead last or we're first on the ladder. I think I'll stay here for the whole regular season until that's over and we've played all our games, because it's just, for me, it's about, you know, sticking with it. I've never really been one to not want to play, you know, regardless if we're losing or we're winning. I've always wanted to play and just be out there hooping. So, no, I think I'll stay here for the entire season.
Gotcha. So, you know, with that in mind, now, given you talked about the expectations people had coming in, they weren't sure, but you had a self-confidence in yourself, and you've obviously been able to do what you've been able to do since you started for the team. Now, with that in mind, you know, people start looking at mock drafts, and now the NCAA tournament is done and all the college games are done. So I was curious if going into these, I don't want to say mock drafts, but going into the draft, do you feel still underrated? Is there a chip on your shoulder? How do you view it right now?
Yeah, it's interesting, because at the start of the year, I always used to, you know, I was a big fan of the mock drafts. I was never on them myself, but I used to love keeping up with the guys that were on them. And to kind of see myself on those mock drafts now, it's pretty interesting, because, you know, even not even 6 months ago, it was – it was just funny to me because I was loving reading the mock drafts, and I used to read all the stuff that got released about the top prospects in the draft class. And it was never about me. It was always about other guys. And now to see myself on there is pretty cool. But, you know, every time I get asked about mocks, I always just give the same answer that it really means nothing to me because it can change so quickly. You know, the mocks can change, and they don't mean nothing to me if I'm not playing well. So, you know, as long as I just keep doing my thing, I think the rest will take care of itself. But, no, the mocks are, you know, they're a cool form of recognition to kind of, you know, see where your hard work's getting to. But, yeah, that only means so much at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I mean, look, as someone who has done, you know, this is my 10th year covering the league, as someone who's done mock drafts for multiple publications before, it's a combination of due diligence, reporting, and also a team isn't going to necessarily tell you, hey, you know, we really like this guy. You're almost doing a little bit of educated guesswork with some of them as well. So I could certainly vouch for you for that. But yeah, you have made a distinction. Even, you know, it's funny, you mentioned about 6 months ago, I always get a kick out of after your draft class is completed and your draft is done, I guarantee you within the next week, you're going to see a mock draft for the following draft. And that board is going to flip so much given, you know, the way guys play and things like that. So I certainly think you hit that on the head. With that in mind, as you're going into the draft, you know, you're still a teenager, which always like boggles my mind how much the game has advanced. You know, you can't even get a beer. Maybe you couldn't. Can you get a beer in Australia? I don't know. How old do you got to be?
Yeah, you can. That's 18. You got in Australia, you got to be 18. Yeah, I know. Okay. It's 21 in the States, so it's different over here. Yeah.
See, there you go. You learn something new every day. But yeah, I mean, so, you know, with that in mind, as you look to finish the season and get ready eventually for the draft, for you, as you're evaluating your own game, what do you think are your biggest strengths and the weaknesses that you're working on going into the draft?
Yeah, I think for me, and it's probably everyone would give the same answer, the biggest strength for me is probably my passing. I love doing it ever since I was little because my dad always taught like a really team-orientated system, you know, style of basketball ever since I was younger. And I've just loved passing, love getting guys open. It makes me happy to see someone else happy, you know. So I love getting my guys' looks, getting the ball in the right places at the right time. So that's probably my biggest strength. I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but my shooting was coming into the season. And it was really, really bad early on in the year. I think I was 3 of 20-something. And then I kind of talked with my assistant coach. I said, you know, this is something we need to address and work on. And we got in the gym, and then ever since that day, I think I've really flipped the switch and started knocking the three ball down pretty consistently. So that was the big thing for me. And I, by no means am I done working on it. Still got a long way to go. So that's probably the biggest thing that I'm going to work on leading up to the draft.
I appreciate the self-assessment. I think most people would agree. Any young guy coming into the league, they can always improve their shooting. So
yeah.
But you do bring an interesting skill set. As far as I know, you're ambidextrous, which certainly helps as you're driving into the paint, and you've got good size for a point guard. It's not something that you can teach. Well, you know what? I don't want to necessarily put a label on you. I'll give you the floor. What do you think is your best position when it comes to the league in the NBA?
I've been a point guard my whole life, but you know, some teams I know, obviously in the NBA, there's a lot of really, really good point guards. So, I mean, I'm happy to play off the ball, but my whole life I've been a primary ball handler, facilitator for every team I've played on. So I am a point guard, a natural point guard, but I have the ability to play off the ball as well.
With that in mind, I'm curious, who would you compare your game to right now and projecting long term?
Right now, in a non-cocky or arrogant way, I'd probably say, you know, similar to Ben Simmons. He's not just in the fact we're big point guards, but I think it's the fact that we both, you know, kind of love, and our strongest asset is playmaking and kind of passing the ball and getting guys looks and getting out in transition and making stuff happen. So I think, you know, in a light kind of comparison, I'd put Ben as the guy.
Have you heard any comparisons from other people that either stick with you or you maybe scratch your head on?
Yeah, I've heard like a Luka or a Joe Ingles. They're kind of the two other guys I've heard. And there was some European guy, I forget his name, but he it was him as well. But they're probably the three that I've heard the most.
All right, so Luka Doncic to Joe Ingles, that's quite a gap. And I will tell you, first of all, Luka is a sensational player, as you know. But I don't think a lot of people would associate Luka and Joe Ingles as athletic. In fact, Joe Ingles, I think a lot of people may say, would be one of the least athletic people in the league, but he still finds his way. Ben Simmons, interesting guy. I mean, I would say more of an athlete can get to the rim and finish. So where do you think you fall in that line in terms of your athleticism?
I think coming into the season, that was kind of what people were worried about. But I think I've shown throughout the year that it's not a flaw by any means for me. It was something I don't know, you know, you can't really teach athleticism or explosiveness, but I think it was something I've worked on a lot in the offseason. It's kind of paid off. You know, my hips used to be like really tight and I didn't really have the ability to kind of explode off one foot that I do now. So, I mean, I'm not a freak athlete by any means, but I'm not a Joe Ingles type of athlete. So I'm kind of in that middle section, I think.
I mean, with that in mind, then what about, well, you know, a lot of people, obviously, even if now they're looking at you, maybe they're studying film, they'll see some highlights, some mixtapes, but how would you describe yourself off the court? Who is Josh Giddey off the court?
Yeah. Pretty chilled guy, fun guy. You know, I like hanging out with my friends, playing PlayStation, doing all those pretty teenage heavy stuff. I'm a big shoe collector, actually. I love shoes and clothes and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, pretty chill guy off the court, a basketball addict, you know, always in the gym, always working out. So yeah, that's me.
So with that in mind, also, I always ask this for any player at any point in their career. What was for you your favorite moment so far as a player, and what was maybe the toughest moment, if you ever had any doubts or anything like that?
I can definitely tell you the toughest. The toughest for me was, well, in Australia we have like a national tournament, and it's where you represent your state. And my state was Victoria, and I never made the state team. And my bottom age year of under 18s, I thought, all right, this is the year, but I didn't make it. And that was probably the hardest thing for me to kind of cope with, because I was so set on making that team. And it was, you know, a big thing for me. It was a big thing for everyone back then. But that was definitely the toughest thing for me to deal with, not being in that team and watching the guys go away. And I think they won a silver medal at the national tournament. So that was hard for me. But the best moment was probably playing for the Boomers in the Asian qualifying games against New Zealand and Hong Kong when I was 17. So that was probably the best basketball moment for me.
What is it about basketball that you love about the game?
I think it's just, you know, the places you can go. And I'm 18 years old and I've been around the world playing it already. So I think it's just, there's so many opportunities that come out of basketball. So many people you can meet, lifelong friends, coaches, teammates, you know, staff, people in organizations. So I think it's just, you know, the friendships you can make and the places you can travel are so special. And I think the NBA I think basketball's the world's biggest sport, maybe behind soccer, but I think the NBA is definitely, you know, the biggest league in the world. So to possibly be on that stage is kind of what drives me every day.
And you talked about the under 17, you know, playing with the Boomers and whatnot. 2021, the Tokyo Olympics coming up. And, you know, how do you feel about that?
Good. I mean, I didn't really look at this time when I made this squad. I was a bit surprised because it was really early on in the season when I was, you know, I was all right. I wasn't anything special, but I was all right. So I was a bit surprised I made the squad. But As the season's kind of gone on and I've got better, I think, you know, there's a more realistic chance of me actually being on that team. And obviously Australia is, you know, a really deep basketball country. It's a really talented group of players we've got, and the squad's a very, very good bunch of guys. But I do think I have a chance of making that team. And, you know, obviously playing at the Olympic Games has been a lifelong dream of mine. I've watched it on TV for every year I've been able to. And to represent my country in Tokyo would be, you know, would be awesome. But, I think we've got a camp coming up a bit later in July or something like that. So I think all the guys will get together and we'll kind of take it from there.
If you were selected, would you go? Or would you go play in Tokyo with the team? Or I didn't know if you were going to maybe debate it because getting ready for your rookie season.
I think at this point I probably would go, but they're the conversations I've got to have with my, you know, my agent and stuff like that. But, you know, I'd absolutely love to go to Tokyo.
Let me ask you this. I know you grew up, you know, your dad coached, you watched a lot of NBL action. Who were the NBA teams that you watched growing up and the players you watched growing up?
I never really had a favorite team, but players. I think the big one for me growing up was, I mean, LeBron. He was he's obviously very, very well known, but growing up for me, I didn't really watch a whole lot of NBA because I was so, you know, around the NBL all the time because my dad coached and mum and dad both played in it. And I was so heavily involved kind of in watching that. And I was at all the games and because dad was coaching at the time and I was always at practices and their weights, you know, with all the guys and stuff. So I was more watching the NBL than I was NBA growing up until even when I was like 13, 14. I think that's when I really started watching the NBA. So I've always kind of been a big NBL guy growing up.
I gotcha. As we head towards the draft, I know what you've done on the court to show why a team should select you, but, you know, you're going to sit down, you know, whether it's Zoom or something like that, you know, a GM is going to ask you, why should my NBA team take you in the draft? What do you say?
I think it's because I make guys around me better. I think that's a big thing for me. I love getting guys looks and I love passing the ball. I'm unselfish. You know, I put the team ahead of myself. I'm pretty versatile on the floor. I can probably guard a few ball positions, obviously being a bit bigger. So I think they're the main things for me.
Have you thought about what your long-term goals would be once you reach the NBA? I mean, obviously getting there is a goal, but once you're there, what are the long-term goals you have for your career professionally in the NBA?
I think the big one for me is, I mean, I haven't really thought that deeply into it yet, but the big thing for me is probably getting that second contract. I think everyone kind of talks about that. You know, you got your rookie contract, but the second one's what you kind of play for. So for me, off the top of my head, that's probably it, but I haven't really thought too deeply into it yet.
You want to get a second, then you want to get a third, and your guy Daniel Moldovan may want you to get a fourth as well. So I could certainly see that, but I guess last but not least, for those that are listening here stateside that maybe don't know your game, as well as some of the writers or other guys that are looking ahead towards the draft and whatnot, what do you have to say to them and to look out for you?
Yeah, so I'm a point guard. I'm a facilitator, playmaker, pass first point guard. I love getting my teammates looks. Can score as well when I have to. I think I'm a pretty good rebounding guard. Obviously, it helps being bigger. So, that's probably me summed up. You know, facilitator, playmaker. That's me.
Have you you talked about looking at some of the mock drafts. Have you kept tabs on some of the other guys at your position, and where do you think you rank amongst them?
Yeah, I watched a bit of the March Madness stuff, and that's kind of the only time I really got to see those guys, you know, like Cade and Suggs and those type of guys. But, on the mocks kind of have me they're all kind of in that same range. So I can kind of see the guys that are in the same range as me and kind of compare myself to them and kind of watch their games and see how they how they play. And there's a lot of different type of players in those ranges. So I do keep an eye on it, and I do watch a little bit of them, but I haven't really been watching a whole lot of college ball this year.
Do you have an idea? I know you look at the mocks. Do you internally, you know, whether it's with your agent or, you know, even coaches overseas, do you have an idea where you may go in the draft or where you think you might?
Well, look, as I said, I mean, the mocks have me, I mean, a few mocks came out. I think one has me at 9, one has me at 13 or 14, one has me at 15. So they're all kind of at around that, you know, mid to late lottery kind of range. But I mean, as I said, we've got a lot of season left to play in. Yeah, I mean, if I just, you know, keep doing my thing, I'm sure things will fall into place with me.
Well, Josh, I mean, we're certainly here at Hoopside looking forward to seeing you finish out the rest of the year with Adelaide and your continued progression. It's been quite a year for you to see your growth from kind of an unknown name to slowly becoming more of a household name. So it's been fun to watch from our side here on the States.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, it's been a fun journey, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. So thank you for that.
You got it. I mean, hopefully by next year we'll be able to see you in a locker room, and the COVID restrictions will be better. But time will tell. But Josh, I certainly appreciate you hopping on the line, brother, from all the way out in Australia. Thanks, my man.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
I also want to thank everyone else for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast with guest appearances from players such as Josh Giddey, coaches, executives, and media members, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following Josh as well. He's on Twitter at Josh Giddey. That's G-I-D-D-E-Y. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.